All right, we'll pass base, pass your test. So Ruth came back and she was trying to modestly hide everything which she brought home, but Naomi saw it anyway. But time lacha maisa, so her mother-in-law said to her, Eva likata tayem, where did you glean today? Va'anasis, and where did you do this? Great. It's amazing. Yehi makireich baruch. The one who recognized you should be blessed. So she assumed that somebody blessed her.
She asked about gleaning, and then she asked about work.
Where did you do? Right.
How did she know about both?
Very good. She figured it out. Yehi makireich baruch. The one who recognized you should be blessed. Matagid l'chamoisa. And she related to her mother-in-law, Esha Sher Asasa Imo, that which she did with him.
With Boaz?
With him. Yeah, Imo is with Boaz. Bataima, and she said, Shema Ish, the name of the man, Asher Asisa Imo, that I did with him, Hayom, today, Boaz. Oh. All right. On this pasuk, the Malbim says that Ruth brought back two things. She brought back what she gleaned, and she also brought back the leftovers from her meal. It must have been a royal feast. It was something that aroused Naomi's curiosity, intrigued her. It's something that you'd only get if you'd work. Gleaners don't bring back such food. She brought back her leftover filet mignon. You know, it was just like something out of the ordinary. So that's what Naomi was asking.
We said she ate.
She left over
wheat. Didn't
he? Besides, he gave her roasted wheat kernels, but that wasn't all he gave her. Roasted barley kernels.
Sorry, why do you have to be a feast?
Because the Malbim says that Naomi asked her two questions. Number one is, where'd you glean? And number two is, where'd you work? Because from the food that she brought back, The quality of the food, it was indicative that she worked hard and she was rewarded for her work. It was quality food. And then she also brought back gleanings. So that showed that she spent the day picking things up off the ground. So this was counter-indicative. It was contradictory. Naomi was being assaulted by contradictory signals. Did she work or did she glean? Because she couldn't have done both. You can't glean so much if you're working. There's not enough time to do that. So that's what she was asking her. And she said, Yehi makireich baruch, the one who recognized you should be blessed.
Hashem.
No, she was referring to Boaz. Whoever it was that recognized you should be blessed. So she's giving him a blessing. The commentary of the Igara Shmuel says that besides being a blessing, it was also a prayer. Naomi was afraid of ulterior motives. A young girl goes into a field and she comes back with such bounty.
Well, she's 40.
So who knows? So who knows what the intentions of her benefactor are. Maybe he wants something. Maybe he wants something unpure. So she said the word Yehi makireich baruch, that the one who recognized you should be blessed. So couched within those words is a prayer that the owner of the field should be a baruch. Yehi makireich baruch, that I hope and I pray that he is a baruch, that he's a blessed one, and he doesn't have any unpure intent, any unpure kavanas. There's a medrash on this pasuk. Ruth told Naomi the name of the man that I did with him. Asher asasa imo, asher asisi imo. The name of the man that I did with him. So the medrash questions the usage of such words. What does it mean that Ruth did something with Boaz? What did she do with Boaz? If anything, Boaz did something for her. What did she do with Boaz? What did she do for Boaz? And the Medrash says that this pasuk is a source that greater than the favor that the Baal HaBayis does to the poor person, even greater than that, is the taiva, is the kindness and the favor that the poor person does with the Baal HaBayis. When you give tzedakah, don't think for a minute that you're doing a favor for the poor person. What he's doing for you by receiving your tzedakah far outweighs what you're doing for him. You're giving him food, you're giving him sustenance, and he's giving you eternity. He's giving you, what you give him, he eats and he goes weiter. But what he's giving you is netzach nitzachim. So that's why the pasuk says, Asher asisi imo, the name of the man that I did for him, because I did more for him than he did for me. That's what the Medrash says. On this pasuk, there's an interesting commentary from the Ben Ish Chai. He brings a Gemara in Baal Basra, Daf Tes on the base. Baal Basra brings a series of psukim. Someone that gives tzedakah to an ani gets blessed with six blessings, six brachas. Just by giving him something, you're zeichet to six brachas. But that the manner in which it's given to the ani is in a kind manner. And when you give it to the ani, it's accompanied by kind words. And you make the ani feel good. You know, you don't just shove the money this race. You give it to him, and you thank him for the opportunity, and you treat him nicely, and you demonstrate that your awareness of the spark of godliness in an ani, in a poor person, so you get 11 blessings. So the manner in which you give tzedakah could determine whether you get 6 blessings or 11 blessings. When Nami saw Rus, and she saw how much she came back with and what she came back with, so then she saw this as evidence that the one, her benefactor, must have a lev tov, must be a good-hearted person, and besides giving Rus tzedakah, he must have treated her very nicely and spoken kind words to her. So that's why Nami uses the word Eifo. Eifo is Aleph, Yud, Fei, He. The first two letters are Aleph, Yud. That's the number 11. And the last two letters are Pei, He. That's Peh. That's lip service. It's using the mouth. Eifo is that I see from what you brought back that whoever gave it to you must be Zeicha to the Yud Aleph Brachas that I brought about by using your mouth in a kind fashion towards a poor person. That's Eifo. The Ben Ish Chai said there's another remez in the word Eifo. Who's it? The Ben Ish Chai? Boaz's father was Salmon. Salmon's brother was Pliny Almini. That means that Pliny Almini is a generation above Boaz.
Boaz's dad is
Salmon.
Uh-huh.
And Pliny Almini was Salmon's brother. Pliny Almini was a generation above Boaz. Pliny Almini was the 10th generation of Yehuda. And Boaz was the 11th generation of Yehuda. Now, everyone thought that the next in line, the one who's going to redeem Elimelech's property, the one that's incumbent upon him to redeem Elimelech's daughters-in-law, perform Yibum, is the one that's closer up on the chain. The 10th generation, Pliny Almini is the 10th generation, he's next in line, He should return all the lands that were owned by Elimelech and that were sold off because of his poverty. He's the one that should marry Ruth and carry on the line of Yehuda. But Naomi had Ruach HaKadosh, and the Ruach Kadosha, she saw that it's not going to be Pliny Almini, but it's going to be Boaz. You know, at this point it wasn't clear who it's going to be. Chances are it's going to be Pliny Almini. but Mami had Ruach HaKadosh, and that expressed itself in the word Eifo, because the word Eifo Yud is also Aleph Yud Fei Hei, could be broken up into Yud Aleph, which is the 11th generation. Yud Aleph is the number 11. Tari is over here. Yud Aleph Po is that the 11th generation is here and he's ready. So she saw the Geula. When Ruth returned with the barley, when Ruth returned with the leftover food, Nami had Ruach HaKadosh, and she saw a remez that the Geula is going to come from the man that treated Ruth so kindly. She saw it. She saw Kadosh Baruch Hu was working Zakapratis to bring a continuity to the line of Shevet Yehuda and bring about the Geula. And she saw Eifo is Yud Aleph, the 11th generation. Po is over here. Pasuk. By the time Nami Lakalasa, and Nami said to her daughter-in-law, Baruch Hu Hashem, blessed is he to God, Asher lo azav chasdo, that God did not forsake in his loving kindness, Esachayim, God did not forsake the living, Esamesim, and God remembered the dead. God is being kind to the living and to the dead. By the time Nami, and Nami told her, Karav Lanu, related to us, O Ish. This man is our relative. Migayalenu, who he is a redeemer. He's on the line. He's on the list of those that would redeem everything which we lost. So Nami clearly saw the hand of Hashem in this. The kindness with the live ones, that's obvious, that Boaz was so kind to Ruth. He fed her. He's sustaining her. What does it mean, the kindness with the dead ones? How is Boaz kind to the dead ones? Who is it referring to? He's being kind to the dead ones. The Alshich tells us that Nami is referring to the mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum is the ultimate chesed that someone could do. A brother dies without children, and the surviving brother marries the widow and produces children from the union, and those children are called after the name of the dead brother, and it allows a dead person to have children. And there should be something, his name should continue on. And Nami saw the Ruach Kadosha that Boaz is going to be in the oven.
How's it you can, she's not a brother.
Yeah, so the Ramban tells us that there's Mitzvah Yibum, which is only by two brothers, and then there's the Minig of Yibum. But even
closest
though
closest relative it goes to?
The closest relative, but it can't be too close, because if it's two brothers, and one brother dies without children, the surviving brother is allowed to marry his sister-in-law, which is an exception to the rule. Normally a brother can't, a brother-in-law can't marry his sister-in-law, but the mitzvah even allows him to do so. If it's not a brother, let's say, for example, it's a nephew. Uncle died without children. A nephew can't do even, because he doesn't have a mitzvah. It's only a minig, and a nephew is not allowed to marry an aunt.
Mm-hmm.
An uncle can marry a niece, but a nephew can't marry an aunt. In case you were wondering. So Boaz was allowed to do so because he was a cousin. If he would have been a closer relative, it would have been forbidden.
How is it? Is it Yibum then, or is it marrying
a cousin? It's the minig of Yibum, and it's considered a mitzvah chesed. It's not mitzvah Yibum, it's a mitzvah chesed. The Gerish Shmuel comments on the last phrase. Migayalenu, he's our redeemer. What does it mean that Boaz is our redeemer? The Pasuk Pshat is that he's going to buy back the fields. But the Gerish Shmuel said this is also a prophecy that through the union of Bayez and Ruth is going to come the redemption to all of the world. He is our Redeemer, the spark, the nitzitz of Kedusha that's to be found in the line of Shevet Yehuda through the formation of Malchus Beis David is to be found in Bayez. Bayez. Bo, within us, is the power.
Who's Bo going to marry?
Ruth.
Bo.
Boaz. Boaz. Boaz has the spark.
What's Boaz to come?
What? Boaz is within him.
Boaz in
Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Vatayimer Ruth Amalevia, and Ruth Amalevia said, Gam ki amar Eli, he also told me, Iman Na'arim, with my lads, Na'arim is lads, masculine, Ashali, which I have, Tidbakim, you should cling with my lads. Adim Kilu is Kala Katzer until they finish all the harvesting, Asherli, which I have, because when the harvest season's over, then they no longer work in the fields. Gam Ki Amar Eli. The commentary of the Ibn Yichya explains what does Rus mean when she said Gam also. She's holding things back. She's letting things out piecemeal. When she tried to hide her gleanings, and then she tells Nami piece by piece that someone was kind to her and gave it to her. She didn't work. She actually gleaned, and he gave it to her anyway. And she was hesitant to reveal everything because she didn't know whether telling Nami about the largesse, the benefit, you know, the benevolence of the master of the field, she didn't know if that would make Nami happy. But once she saw, that Nami saw the purity of the encounter between Rus and Bayez, and there were no ulterior motives, and Nami had tremendous simcha, because Nami saw Kedusha, Nami saw redemption. Nami saw the opposite of impurity. She saw Tahara coming out of it. So then Ruth told her more. That's why it says, Nepasa Gam. Gam is, now she told her more, that Bayez wants to establish a relationship, that I should stay here and I should cling with his lads. Now this is a problem that the Mefarshim deal with. If you go back to where Bayez tells her to cling, you go back to the cling pasuk,
which
Parag Beis Pasuk Ches. Bayez says, Kai v'chai shidbakin im narasai. You should cling to my maidens. So Bayez instructed her, he extended her the opportunity of being a member of his household and being with his maidens. And Rus, upon relating this to Nami, said that he told her to cling to his young lads. Now there's two ways of approaching this. It's a stira, it's a contradiction. There's two ways. And you know, Ruth heard properly. She heard him say, my maiden. There's a medrash that say,
this is the regular medrash, that's right.
Yes.
Okay. So what's the contradiction up for? It said cling to my maiden.
Well, it said cling to my maiden.
Why
but
did
Ruth
she say
said
else?
Cling to my lads.
So what's wrong with that?
He didn't
maidens
tell
are
it.
Female.
He didn't tell it to his aunt. She said cling to his maidens. So why did Ruth tell Naomi?
To cling to his lad.
Right. His lad. So the Medrash says that the nation of Moav was created by the relationship of a father with a daughter. Lot, with his eldest daughter, produced the nation of Moav. And it's something which is part of their moral fiber, or I should say their immoral fiber, a relationship between a father and a daughter is something which is an abomination. It's unacceptable. It's not part of our reality. But for Moav, it's very much a part of the reality, and that's what that actually created them. So there's no boundaries. By Moav, there's no boundaries. There's nothing that's considered immoral, because their very being stems from an act which can't be. Their very existence testifies that, yes, it could be. And people from Moav, when they hear, this is what the Medrash says, when they hear, cling to my maidens, they hear cling to my lads. You know, the words were cling to my maidens, but what she heard is cling to my lads. You know, we could draw a parallel from today's society, that there's certain circles that if you have like a youth group activity, let's say you have someone that's active in outreach in reaching out to teenagers, estranged teenagers that are estranged from our faith, and makes a relationship and invites them all to a happening at his house. Come on, we're going to get together with all the chevra, with the chevra. We're going to chill. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be happening. And then when 15 teenage boys show up at the house and they look around, and they see that they're the only ones there, and they see that they're a male company. They bounce, because to them, a social gathering means immorality. Social gathering means mingling. They don't have any other reality. There's no such thing. It's a shock to the system. To them, their value system is that this is non-existent. This is something which is not there. This is so totally not happening. Now, I once spoke to someone that was very active with NCSY, and he was someone that, in theory, he subscribed to our, to our Messiah, Torah-based Messiah, that you, in matters of faith, you keep the gender separate. And I said, why don't you try doing something separate? You will do for the... And you know what he told me? And I'm not getting into the technicalities of whether something is advisable or permissible. I'm just telling you a story. He told me, he said he tried, and no one came. He tried and no one came. Mm-hmm. When everyone, he tried and no one came. When someone from Moav, that this is what they are, it's not just what they grew up with, this is what they are, this is their actual flesh and blood. It's part of their blood. Hears to cling with my maidens, they hear the words cling with my maidens. And that's what the Medrash said. And the Medrash said, because Ruth still hadn't broken off totally with her origins. Now, take note, we've had other allusions to this. She's called Moavia in some sukkim. The lad that was reporting her presence to Boaz, he had a whole list of things which he suspected her of. She's called a Moavia. That's the Medrash. There's a commentary from the commentary called Simchas HaRegel. And he says quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. If you remember, in Pasuk
Who is this in Kasa Egel?
I don't know. In Pasach Ches, I told you over a Targum. The bias, when you told Rus that she should stay in his household and cling with his maidens, he was giving her a hidden message.
He's saying it's okay.
He was saying that you are hesitant, you are apprehensive about the possibility of marrying someone born into Klal Yisrael, because there's a prevalent rumor that people from Amram and Mayev, even upon conversion, may not marry into Klal Yisrael. They have to marry other Gerim. They can't marry Klal Yisrael. They can't. And that was Rus's impression. And Bayez was telling her, no, I want you to cling with my maidens. That means you are just as legitimate a member of Klal Yisrael as any one of my maidens. And you could marry someone born into Klal Yisrael just like they could. And even though Bayez didn't say that openly, and he just hinted it to Rus, but she picked up on it. And she understood that Bayez was paskening. He was paskening that locha of Mayavi v'lei Mayavia Amayni v'lei Amunis. So Bayez told her to cling with his maidens, but what he really meant was that she could marry into Klal Yisrael. So Ruth, when she told Nami the words of Bayez, she told Nami the real intent of Bayez rather than the actual words. Because Bayez said the words cling with my maidens, but what he meant was that she could marry into Klal Yisrael. What he meant was that she can cling with Jewish men. So you see that, you know, the Mefarshim, they go from one extreme to the other. So you have the Medrash saying that she still had, like, the remnants of Moav upon her, and then you have the Simchas Arego that says that she's saying over a Psak of Divrei Torah. You know, this is like, well, this goes along with all the other things which we've been learning until now. She did convert, she didn't convert. She's a Mayavia, she's a daughter-in-law, she's a sister-in-law, she's a daughter, Mayavia, she was Michael Aksuba, Waksuba. You know, we're being assaulted by messages. Contradictory messages.
So why
Ellie and left? What?
Also why Ellie?
We're coming to what? Yeah, why did Ellie Malach leave?
Two of those.
To pick her up. Spawn the Pasuk of Chaf Beis. About timer. Nami, Rus. Nami said to Rus, Kalasa, her daughter-in-law, Tal Biti. It's good, my daughter. Tobiti. It's good, my daughter. Kitetsi imnarusav. Go with his maidens. So Nami is flipping it back to maidens. Below Yifgubach. And he won't be harmed in any way. Besadechar. And go into another field. Stay in his field, and no one will bother you, and there's no need for you to go to another field.
Another field means other nations.
Someone else's field, right. Stay with Bayez. Stick with Bayez. Taif. Stick with Bayez. Stick with Bayez is Taif. Malbim on this pasuk says that Nami was giving Rus techacha. She was telling Rus, don't cling to the lads, even innocently. Don't spend time with them and have an affiliation with them, an association with them, but rather stick with the maidens. That's what Bayez meant. Because if you stick with the maidens, Taiv, it will be good. But if you affiliate with the lads, so then Yifke Ubach, Pega. Pega means
Pegara.
To be wounded. Right, a Pegara. Pegas means an unpleasant occurrence. This way you'll avoid all unpleasant occurrences. And the mom says that she didn't suspect her of Chas V'Shalom entering into some kind of illicit relationship, but she was warning her against developing a bad reputation. That if you spend too much time with his lads, so then you'll come to Chashad. There'll be suspicion cast over you. That's the Malbim. There's a commentary of the Sefer Turi Zahav. It's with a Tuf. Turi Zahav. The Turi Zahav has a different approach. Turi Zahav explains the Medrash differently. The Medrash that we mentioned before. The Medrash that Rus changed Bayez's words and said lads because of her origins.
So this is on the Simcha Sarego?
This is on the Medrash.
Oh, on the Medrash.
This is on the Medrash. Chas V'Shalom to say that Rus actually had intentions of acting on her perception of Bayez's words and developing some kind of association, some kind of relationship with his lads. She was pure. Her origins of Mayev were well under control. And she never would have entertained such thoughts. And she, at this point, she was past that. He said, what the Medrash means, he's understanding the Medrash differently. What the Medrash means is that Rus's choice of words was due to her origins from Mayev. She heard Bayez say maidens. She had every intention of spending time with his maidens, not with the lads. It was a slip of the tongue. When you grow up in Mayev, when you're influenced by Mayev, so then that's the manner of speech. And it's wrong. But that's a lot different than thinking that Ruth was actually at the stage where she still would be capable of such a thing. And Naomi was giving her Musar for that. Naomi was telling Rus, I know that you didn't mean anything improper, but we don't talk like that over here. And she corrected her. In this pasuk, she corrected her, and she said, Tetim Naraisov, she was telling Rus, that's the proper way to say it. And Rus said, he said, I could hang out with the guys.
Hang with the boys.
And Rus, hang out with the boys, hang out with the guys. And in her mind, she meant the maidens. But she said the guys, because that's the way you talk when you're from Mayev. And Naomi said, we don't talk like that. So she wasn't telling her not to hang out with the lads. She was telling her not to use that manner of speech. So it's called an edla nekuda. Yeah. Pasuk of Gimel. But Tidbach, and she clung. Benaros Boaz, with the maidens of Boaz. So you see that she got the message. She was Makabel. Melaket, and she was gleaning. Ad Klais Ktsir HaSa'irim, until the end of the harvest season. Uktsir HaChitim, and the end of the harvest of the wheat. Batesha Veskamaisa, and she lived with her mother-in-law. How long was this? The Medrash says it was 3 months. The The mom explains why it's 3 months. There's halacha. When a woman comes to be misgayer, as well intentioned as she is, as sincere as she is, 3 months have to go by between her approach to the Beis Din, and when the 3 months have to go by between her conversion and when she enters into matrimony, to marriage. The reason for this is to be make a havdalah between the tumah and the tahara. If it's a woman, so perhaps she's carrying a child, and if she would get married within those 3 months, she has a child from a previous Gentile husband, and we'd be unaware of it, and she'd get married to a Jewish person, the child would be born, it wouldn't be clear whether his father was a Jew or her father was a guy. So there's a 3 month period, an interim, a havdalah, between the time of tumah and the time of tahara. I mean, it's very similar to any woman, that if a woman's husband passes away, chas v'shalom, or if she gets divorced, she has to wait 3 months before remarrying. If a woman's husband passes away, you wait 3 months before yibam is done, because it could be she has a child, and then there is no need for the yibam. So the Malvim explains the Medrash based on this, that it took 3 months for the harvest, the wheat harvest and the barley harvest, and during those 3 months Nami did nothing. As soon as those 3 months are up, so Nami starts. We're going to see in the next parak what she starts. She starts embarking on her master plan to get Rus married off to Bayez. She designed a plan that would culminate in the mitzvah of Yibum, the Bayez of the Niyabim Rus, but she didn't take any action until after the season was over, because it wouldn't have been permissible anyway. Nami was endeavoring to bring about the mitzvah of Yibum. So she waited 3 months.
The Malvim.
The Malvim based on the Medrash. The Pasuk says she lived with her mother-in-law. Why is that significant? The Malvim explains, because in the beginning of the Pasuk it says she clung to the maidens of Bayez. That meant that she found camaraderie, she made friends, she made a relationship, and she was very close. So you might think, you have a young girl, she comes from Mayav with an older woman, and she finds people her age, some people that she shares something in common with, she's with them every day, she's very close. So you might think that even after the season is over, she keeps it up, and her relationship with her mother-in-law would be adjusted accordingly. It wouldn't be as close. And the Pasuk is telling us that that's not the way Rus worked. Rus did spend time with these young maidens. She worked well with them. She had a good working relationship. But she only did so because she was bringing home food for her mother-in-law. So in order to facilitate that, she fostered these relationships. It's very beneficial under the circumstances. But the relationships only exist for one purpose: for her to blend in and to enable her to glean in the fields and bring back things to Nami. As soon as the harvest was over and there was nothing to glean, she went back to her natural state of living with her mother-in-law without a thought of going out in life or keeping up the relationship with those in the field. But so it says in the same pasuk, it says she clung to the women of the field. In the very pasuk, it says that she went back to live with her mother-in-law.
I don't understand what's going on. No,
do you have a specific question?
No, I don't get it.
Because you might think that once she makes relationships, shouldn't she let them go on?
You're talking about her relationship with Nami or her relationship with
you might think that her relationship with the maidens of the field might come at an expense of losing her relationship with Nami.
But it didn't?
It didn't. That's why the Pasuk says she clung to the maidens, and at the end of the Pasuk it says she lived with Nami.
Instead the relationship.
To show you that despite the relationship, it didn't cause any lessening of the relationship with Nami.
Didn't you say the relationship with the field, with the women in the field, was only to get food for Nami?
It was a working relationship that it only existed as long.
Who says that?
That's the Nami. Okay, you want to stop over here?